We're going to start at verse 18, but before we do, I just want to talk about the resurrection a little bit more. We gathered here last week, and man, we talked a lot about the resurrection. Amen? Imagine those ladies getting to that tomb to serve Jesus in one last step by just preparing his dead body for long-term burial. But let me tell you something, guys. He was in a borrowed tomb, and you know why he just was in a borrowed tomb? Because he wasn't going to need it very long. He was only going to need it 3 days, and he knew that. And so we celebrate the resurrection. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 13, I want to ask you something. Do you believe the resurrection? Do you believe the resurrection today? Because now if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Guys, the resurrection changes everything. You continue on in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Go ahead and bring the thing up on the board there and follow along. The second slide, third slide. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God. This is Paul, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaking to us this morning. Because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ. Did he raise Christ, church? Amen. And then if he has raised up Christ, guys, he's got a plan for us too. Yes. Yes, he has. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. Guys, I've heard people just kind of treating Christianity like they're hedging their bets. Well, if I'm right, then it's going to work out good. But if I'm wrong, then what did I really lose? I'm going to tell you something, guys. We're either right about this because Jesus is right about this, or we are to be most pitied among all people. I want you to know that if Christ has called your heart to follow him, it's because he is the risen Lord. He is the living Lord, and he is working in your life, and he wants you to live like living people who are filled with the Spirit. We do not have to fear. We do not have to wonder, is God stronger than the other things that are coming against us? We can know for sure that he is, because on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. The resurrection is sure. It is true. Romans 10, verses 9 through 10 tell us that we can't even be saved unless we really believe that Jesus was raised. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Guys, and I want you to know, it goes on to say, and anyone who believes in the name of the Lord will not be put to shame. Guys, that we truly are his children. We truly have the Spirit of God living in us. And I can tell you, you absolutely will be resurrected to eternal life. You can stake your everything on it because God said so. We do not need to live in fear of death anymore. You see, this fear of death is the way the devil, and it's the only thing he has to really control people. And so I'm praying for each and every one of you that God will confirm in your heart today the resurrection is true for Jesus, and the resurrection is true for you, and the resurrection that Jesus' people, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, will experience is one unto eternal life. No one can take it from us. It is ours to have forever. You see, in John chapter 5, don't worry, we're going to get to Mark. We're just setting the tone. In John chapter 5, verses 28 through 29, we realize that Jesus explained to us that everyone most definitely will be resurrected. He says, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Yes, we will all be resurrected. we will all rise, some to eternal life, some to eternal judgment. And we've got the Sadducees. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles. Hopefully you're already there to Mark chapter 12, verse 18. Let's all stand for this reading of God's Word, if you can, if you're able. If you're not, it's fine. We're going to read verses 18 through 27. Then some Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to him, and they asked him, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies and leaves his wife behind and leaves no children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother." This comes from Deuteronomy 25:5. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife, and dying, he left no offspring. The second took her, and he died. Nor did he leave any offspring, and the third likewise. So the seven had her and left no offspring. Last of all, the woman died also. A lot of death going on there, eh? We will all face it someday, guys, so you better be prepared. And then Jesus, and therefore, in the resurrection, when they rise, whose wife will she be? For all seven had her as wife. It does sound a little confusing, doesn't it? It's actually kind of a good question, but they started off on the wrong premise. And so Jesus is going to deal with their premise. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Are you not therefore mistaken? Because you do not know the Scriptures nor the power of God. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But concerning the dead that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the burning bush passage, how God spoke to him, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken." Let us pray. Dear God in heaven, help us to look to you and realize that you are the God of the living. If you are my God because I have received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, then that means you are my Father. And that you are the God of the living means that I should live like I'm alive. Alive with the Spirit of God, alive with the ability to serve you, alive, and no one can take that life from me. Lord, I pray that we would keep our eyes on you and that we would learn from the Sadducees. They made a really sad mistake here. They were doubting the resurrection. Help us, Lord, to look to you and to truly, truly be saved from the power of death. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can have a seat. So as we look at this and we kind of break it down, we're just going to see that the Sadducees were a little bit sad. They were a little bit sad. In fact, they were so sad that all they did was they just kept going and trying to trap Jesus every time they had a chance, right? And they showed their sadness, but I'll tell you why they were sad. They were sad because they didn't believe in the resurrection. And there's a whole lot of people that are living out here that look sad whenever you look at them and you walk by them on the street. You know why? Because to them, everything's about this life and this life alone. And if that's where you're at, that would make you sad. Because I don't know about the rest of you guys, I don't want to live like this forever. This life's filled with all kinds of challenges, all kinds of problems, all kinds of death, sorrow, sadness, sickness, temptations. God's got a better plan for us. And you know, we look at these Sadducees, and they were just sad, and they just kept trying to trap Jesus at every turn. Why? Because they said there was no resurrection. I'm going to tell you what the Sadducees were like. You had the Sadducees, and you had the Pharisees. And these were like almost like the almost like political parties in their day. They were almost like the Republicans and Democrats, if you really want to break it down. It was kind of weird because they were a theocracy rather than a democracy. And since they were a theocracy, then their version of what they thought the Old Testament said was the way they were going to rule. And the Sadducees were the individuals who said, "If I can't see it with my naked eye, I don't believe it." They had this attitude that the buck stops with what I can reason with my own brain. And I can just tell you, you don't get to see the resurrection yet. All you can do is accept the resurrection because Jesus' tomb is empty. You have got to accept it on what we understand from the Word of God and to know that Christ is risen. And whenever God puts that faith in your heart and you respond to that and the two come together, you know what you're going to find out? God is going to help you to believe things you can't see with your naked eyes. But you have got to respond to the amount of faith that He gives you so that that faith can continue to grow. And so that's why you're here today, because you have that faith. And it may be about this big when you walk in the door, but I pray that it gets a little bit bigger before you leave, because you hear the Word of God and you believe the Word of God and you start to act on the Word of God. And as you act on the Word of God, God will continue to open up more for you. But you see, the Sadducees had done made up their minds. And what they were doing was trying to use what they thought they knew about the Word of God to try to trap the living Word of God. What a stupid thought! But I'm going to tell you, God allowed it so that He could use it to teach us from it. And the Sadducees were religious experts, but I can tell you what they really needed was to be born again and have the Holy Spirit living in them. Then they would have what it would take to understand the Word of God properly. You see, they didn't believe in the resurrection. They thought they could trap Jesus. They thought that they could bring up this little technicality that God put in His law about, one brother redeeming the name of his brother. If his brother died and didn't have children, then he would take his wife and have children for his brother for the inheritance to continue on. It was supposed to be there to protect the woman so that she would have somebody to provide for her. It was supposed to be there to protect the family name so that the family name could continue on to future generations. It was supposed to be there to protect, and what are they using it for? To try to trap Jesus. They thought, I'm going to take this little technicality in the law, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to show that Jesus has to be mistaken. Therefore, in the resurrection, when they rise, whose wife will she be? They thought they were so smart at this point, because they thought He wasn't going to be able to answer this question. For all seven had her as wife. Boy, I'll tell you what. You know what will really make us happy? Is when we know the Scripture and the power of God. And you know why the Sadducees were sad? It's because they were not believing that God had that kind of power. Guys, there's a lot of people sitting in churches today that are afraid that maybe God don't have that kind of power. And I want to reassure you today, God has all power. He has all authority. There is nothing impossible for God. He can take care of us through anything that might come our way. We just need to trust Him. So let's begin to know the Scriptures and the power of God. Let's go to the next slide there. Mark chapter 12, verse 24. Jesus answered and said to them, "Are you not therefore mistaken, because you do not know the Scriptures nor the power of God?" And I'm going to tell you, He's just about to teach us something. He's just about to give us a sneak peek into heavenly truths that we may not have already known. He teaches us three truths just in this next verse, just like that. And so as we look at that next verse, just go ahead and keep this slide up. I'm going to read verse 25. "For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven." So I just pulled three quick truths out of that, and I hope that you can see them and agree with me this morning. Number one, we will rise from the dead. He says when, not if. Number one, we will rise from the dead. Number two, marriage is for this life only. Isn't it a beautiful thing that God has brought forth marriage for us to be able to do life together? And I mean, it's an awesome thing. You know, not everybody is necessarily ordained to be married for the entire time of their life, or maybe not even at all. But when we are, it's a beautiful thing, the way we complement and complete one another. But here's the deal, guys. That's for right now. God's got something even better planned for later on. You know, whenever I first learned this truth, and I thought, this is kind of a bummer, because I really like being married to my wife. But then a little bit later on, I thought, man, even as good as this is, that means what God has for me later is even going to be better. You see, I think my wife and I will be closer in heaven. We're just not going to be in the same kind of relationship. We'll be in an even closer relationship there. But marriage is for this life only. And then this third one, this is something that I think is really important for us to get from this as well. We don't become angels after we die. I hear this a lot in at funerals and things like that. You know, now they're an angel in heaven. And now they can do this for me. And now they can do that for me. No, they can't. They're not an angel. They're like the angels in that they're not given in marriage. They don't procreate in heaven. That they have a different type of existence, a spiritual existence at that point. They're still people. They still have the soul of a person. God made people and he made angels. And he didn't make people to become angels. And he didn't make angels to become people. We all have our own purpose in this, and it's to glorify God from where we are. Now, whenever a dearly departed individual does go to be with God, I tell you, they're glorifying God in heaven. And so are the angels. But we don't interchange. God teaches us some truths about this, about what's even going to happen in the resurrection and after the resurrection and how this is all going to work out to a people who don't even believe in the resurrection. And you notice he didn't apologize for it. He just said, you're sadly mistaken, basically. Somehow, I think Jesus knew that the Sadducees weren't concerned about marriage in the first place. What do y'all think? He was like, I don't even think they're really all that worried about marriage. So I'm going to teach them about the resurrection. But concerning the dead, that they rise. Have you not read in the book of Moses in the burning bush passage how God spoke to him saying, I am the God of Abraham. Not I was the God of Abraham. It wasn't like Abraham ceased to exist now. He said, I am the God of Abraham. And he also says, the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, the patriarchs of our faith, the ones who had faith that God was going to send Messiah to save them from their sins, that they looked to him in complete faith and were saved as well out of the Old Testament. And he is saying he is the God of the living, guys. God isn't the eternal God over billions of dead people. You see, he's alive, and like he is alive, then he is the God over living people. And there is eternal life, and it's going to be realized someday when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ are raised up from the dead. Amen? And he's going to have all of us together forever and ever and ever. He's not the God of the dead, but he is the God of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken, he says. And here's the thing, guys. We have in Christ, we have eternal life. Please live like you know that. I'm going to say, we do not have to live in fear of death anymore. When we get into the book of Revelation, it talks about those who were able to overcome. And it says they overcame the enemy, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, and the word of their testimony. What God has done in your life is important. For they did not love their life so much to shrink back from death. Guys, we've got to live for Jesus. He's a living Savior. The resurrection is real. You are living individuals who will live forever. What are we afraid of? Let's serve Christ, the risen Lord, together. Amen? And I'll tell you, I don't believe you're leaving this world 1 second before it's God's will for you to, providing that you stay in the center of his will. God is good. I look around this, and I'm taking in the faces, and I'm going to tell you, I'm looking around this congregation, and I'm seeing people that God has his hand of blessing on. He has a plan for you. And I've seen us go through health struggles, many of us. I've seen us face death. And I've seen, in many cases, God say, not yet. you've got more work to do in this world. I've seen others that God said, it's time. And I'm going to say, either way, we win. It's either go be with Christ in person or serve Christ right now. Either way, we win. The question is, are you in Christ? Guys, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to try to manufacture something because I couldn't talk you into it. If I was the best debater in the world, and if I tried and actually accomplished, it wouldn't be real. I can't guilt you into it. I can't promote the right feeling so that you feel it and do something about it. That would all be manufactured. But you know what I can do? Is I can offer you an opportunity to respond to what God's doing in your heart today. And if God is calling your heart and saying, rise up, I'm your shepherd, come to me, then you know what? I think you should respond. And I think you should do it immediately. And so we're going to offer an opportunity for you to respond to God. So let me pray for you, and then we're going to have a time of invitation. Dear Father, pray for our congregation today, Lord. These are dearly beloved individuals, and I mean, you love them, and you have a plan for them, and you died for them, and you didn't stay dead, but you rose on the third day so that you are continuing to lead your church. I noticed something about all those other world religions. They go worship places where dead people's remains are. But in Christianity, we have no need to do that because our Lord is risen. You live forever. And in fact, you had witnesses stand right there and watch as you were ushered back up into your Father's presence in heaven. 40 days after your resurrection, you went back to heaven to be at the right hand of the Father, and you are making intercession for us right now. And you sent a part of the living God, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, to come and live in every true blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ. And you are the one who gives life to each and every lost individual that you call to be your own. You give the life. And so, Father, if you are transferring that life into people's hearts here today, I pray that we would just say, yes, Lord. You are my King, and I seek to follow you from this point forward. If there's any in this place today that needs to surrender their life to Christ for the first time, I pray they do it now. And Father, I also want to pray for all of your children who have already received your call. Sometimes we can stray, and sometimes we can get out in the weeds, and we can get off the path. I pray that if there's any that need to just recommit their hearts today and say, Lord, I want to continue to follow you from this point forward. Forgive me of those times that I got off the path, but Lord, I'm back, and I'm back to serve. I'm back to truly bring glory to you now. I pray that we would do that as well. Just recommit our hearts to Jesus from wherever we are. In Jesus' name, amen.